With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Now it's time to talk to Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post. He's the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Tim, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I've never had the pleasure before. It's an honor. I follow your work. I enjoy reading it in the Washington Post. You guys have phenomenal stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a fun place to be. Thank you for the kind words.
So the season starts in an hour and a half. I'll start with the guy I'm most interested in watching tonight, and that's Gordon Hayward. We were so excited to see him a year ago, and on this night a year ago, might not be exactly to the calendar day, but on opening night a year ago, the Celtics with Kyrie and with Gordon Hayward and everyone, they went to Cleveland to play the LeBron and the Cavaliers, and 6 minutes into that game, the whole mood changed. The whole entire situation changed when his leg snapped, the broken leg, the dislocated ankle. It was such a gruesome injury. We've all kind of followed his rehab, and I think most people like Gordon Hayward. He's a likable guy. He's back tonight. What can we expect in terms of his reception in Boston, and then what are you hearing about just how effective of a basketball player he can be for the Celtics?
Well, I'm sure he'll get a great reception, but I think anybody that watched him in the preseason, I was at that game last year when he got hurt, and it was obviously a pretty dramatic scene, and I think anybody who's seen him play in the preseason this year saw a guy that looked rusty, understandably, given he hadn't played basketball in a year, and at least competitive NBA 5-on-5 ball, and I think it's going to take some time for him to fit back into what Boston's doing, because remember, during the playoffs last year, Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward were both out, and for most of last season, it was Kyrie Irving and these young guys on the Celtics on the wing playing, right? So they have to loop Gordon Hayward back into what they're doing. I think as you look at that team, they have the ability to play him 20, 25 minutes a night and, have him, maybe play the first half of the first quarter and the second half of the second quarter and, kind of on and on like that. And they don't have to lean on him the way most teams would want to lean on a, multi-time all-star forward like him. So it probably is the best situation for him in terms of allowing him to ease himself back into action and be ready to go. But there's no question that I think it's going to take a little bit of time for him to knock all the rust off and get back to the player he was prior to the injury.
How does Brad Stevens can Brad Stevens keep all of those players happy, assuming everyone stays relatively healthy? A lot of times health works those situations out by itself. But if everyone's healthy, a lot of guys that are used to playing a lot of minutes aren't going to get as many minutes. How does Stevens keep those guys engaged and happy as the season rolls along?
I think that's going to be a real challenge for Brad. I think it might be the biggest challenge that the Celtics face is trying to keep everybody happy. Pat Riley's old line about the disease of more usually comes from teams that have won already, but you look at the Celtics team and you've got Terry Rozier, that's a young guy who got a taste of it during the playoffs, had a really good run during the postseason, and now is going to be backing up Kyrie Irving at point and is going to be a restricted free agent this summer and wants to get paid. You have Marcus Morris, who's playing behind Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, on the wing, is going to be a unrestricted free agent this summer, wants to get paid. How is he going to react to that? Marcus Smart just got a new deal, but he's a guy who's always thought he could have a bigger role. How is he going to handle that? Al Horford and Kyrie Irving both could be free agents this summer. How are they going to handle that? There's a lot of there's a lot of stuff that has to be sorted out in that situation in Boston. And to me, how they manage those minutes and if they're able to keep everybody on the same page is going to be a big part of whether the Celtics are going to be as good of a team as everybody thinks they can be.
I love the way the design and the list and the breakdown of the top 100 that you guys did, that you did the lion's share of it, but obviously with the rankings. Joel Embiid at 7 at the Sixers. Ben Simmons in your rankings is 16th. These two young players that they had a playoff run a year ago. This Philadelphia team, everyone's talking about Boston, understandably. Everyone's fascinated to see what Kawhi Leonard looks like in Toronto and whether that makes a difference. Does that get Toronto over the hump in an Eastern Conference that no longer features LeBron James? This Philadelphia team, how close to title ready is it?
I think they're probably one piece away. I don't think they're quite on the same level as Toronto and Boston in the East. You know, obviously Joel and Simmons are great, and if the two of them both take huge leaps, it might not matter, right? I mean, you could have kind of a Shaq and Kobe situation where they're both just so good that it doesn't really matter who's around them. But I think they have some work still to do. They don't have a dynamic perimeter scorer, which you really need in the playoffs at some point. You know, Ben Simmons is a guy who, for as great as he is, side of about 10 feet from the basket. So, you know, that's something that he's going to have to work on and improve if he's going to become a better player and really get to that, to me, MVP level discussion. You know, if he's got to be able to shoot outside of 8 feet, Embiid has to stay healthy, has to improve his conditioning, has to become a more focused player at both ends. And look, they still need that third piece. You know, they thought it was going to be Markel Fultz. He obviously had a very up and down rookie year. They do have max cap space to go after somebody next summer. They do have the pieces to potentially make a big swing for a trade that could swing things. But, you know, as it stands now, I would say that they're, third, and it wouldn't even shock me if they're fourth in the East behind Milwaukee. And they still need one more year to kind of get everything set up to take the real leap that everybody thinks they're capable of.
I'm going to get to that potential trade piece, I guess, here in a second. But first, I want to talk about the Warriors and get your thoughts on what's the obvious other storyline in tonight's game. You know, the Thunder and the Warriors normally is a real dramatic game. Russell Westbrook's not playing tonight, so a lot of that drama gets lost from that matchup. But most people think this is Kevin Durant's last opening night as a Warrior. I'm curious, going into it tonight, from what you know tonight, do you think that's the case?
I mean, I think anybody trying to make any definitive assumptions about what Kevin is going to do is kind of missing the boat. This is a guy who, I don't think he's necessarily sure what he wants, and I certainly don't think that he has already decided what he's going to do next summer. Now, that being said, if I had to guess, I would say that more likely than not, he will not be playing for the Warriors next year. He will be somewhere else. But, I think even though I think that today, and he may think that today, I have a feeling that's going to change a lot of times between now and July 1st. And, I think until we see how the entire season plays out, it's kind of foolish to try to handicap it because, this is a guy who, I think is going to need to take the next 8 months to really figure out where he wants to go with his career, and then he'll have next summer to decide what officially it's going to be.
Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post joins us here on the Gary Parish Show. We talked to Gary in the first hour. We were talking about Anthony Davis, who you have ranked number 3, and I think that's where – most people believe Anthony Davis belongs right now in the current rankings. It's LeBron, and then it's Kevin Durant, and then there's Anthony Davis, and he's in New Orleans in a market that's not a big market basketball deal. They just won a playoff series a year ago, yet DeMarcus Cousins is gone. There's not a great supporting staff cast around him other than Jrue Holiday. If it doesn't go well in New Orleans, is it conceivable that the Pelicans find out just what they could get for Anthony Davis as early as this trade deadline?
I don't think there's any chance they would trade Anthony before the chance to offer him the designated player extension next summer. I think, they at least, I guess maybe if the season goes catastrophically badly, maybe that would change. But it's hard for me to envision a scenario where you have one of the top 5 players in the NBA on your team and you don't at least get to the point where you can offer him that deal and make him turn it down, right? And right. if he turns down $200 million, then you have to entertain the idea of trading him. But I think until his name until he says I'm not going to sign and drops the pen, I just it's hard for me to imagine a scenario in which they move on from him in any kind of a trade this year. I guess barring, I guess if somebody came in with a completely insane offer, maybe that would change. But I just don't see a scenario in which he could get moved, you know, before they get the chance, like I said, to lock him up for the long term.
The Grizzlies don't play tonight. They open tomorrow in Indiana against the Pacers. When you think about Memphis, where sort of they sit right now, what are the things in your mind Memphis has to do early in the season to position themselves for a playoff run? And when you look at the Grizzlies, where do you sort of see them in terms of where they stack up in the West?
I mean, they're probably going to be somewhere in the 10 to 13 range. And if Mark and Mike are healthy, they have a chance to be in, you know, in the mix for the eighth seed. But, you know, I think more than anything, we need to see that Mike and Mark are healthy and going to be the players they've been in the past, right? I mean, that's really the bellwether for how good this team is going to be. If those guys are at the level they've been prior, you know, the Grizzlies have a chance to be a over 500 team and push for a playoff spot. If, you know, Mike continues to have issues with his Achilles, if Mark takes another step back, then they're a team that's probably going to be in the 30 to 35 win range and, you know, isn't really going to be going anywhere this year. And the main focus is going to be on the development of Jaren Jackson. To me, that's really what it comes down to is, are those guys the same players they were before? And if they are, how far does that lift the Grizzlies up in a pretty loaded Western Conference from top to bottom?
It's one of the fun things to watch in L.A. Obviously, it's LeBron James, right? I mean, he's going to Los Angeles. He's in this huge market. He finally leaves Cleveland. He doesn't probably have the team around him to contend for a title, especially with Golden State in the West. But it's LeBron James, and every time LeBron James is on a team, they make a deep playoff run. He's been in the finals for, what, the last 25 years or something. I'm being hyperbolic, but he's always in the finals. How far can LeBron James carry this Lakers team?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I think they're going to miss the playoffs, but they certainly, I think, you know, if they miss it, it'll be by a game or two, and they could definitely make it. But I just don't think their ceiling is as high as a lot of other people seem to. They have a lot of, the roster has a lot of structural issues. They don't have much shooting. They don't have any big men. JaVale McGee is the only power forward or center, true power forward or center on the entire roster, which is going to be a problem on a variety of levels. They don't have many good defenders. You know, like I said, they don't have a lot of shooters. They have a couple of brilliant passers and Rajon Rondo and Lonzo Ball and LeBron James. And they have a bunch of guys who really never like to pass and just like to jack up shots, right? So, you know, look, I think they have some young guys that are interesting. I think the most important thing about this season is trying to develop them together and see them improve and learn to play together. But I just think they have a ton of, you know, structural stuff to figure out. And like we're just talking about how tough the West is, you know, on a nightly basis, you have to go up against a really good team just about every night. I mean, their start of the season is at Portland, home for Houston. They go to Phoenix, and then they play the Spurs twice and the Nuggets. That's their first six games. So, I mean, and that's a pretty typical six-game stretch in the West. So if that's what you're looking at on a nightly basis, it's going to be incredibly difficult to not only be able to rack up any kind of wins at all, but also for a team like them that has a bunch of new guys that are playing together for the first time, to try to establish enough continuity right off the bat to, you know, to have a successful start to the season is going to be incredibly tough. And, you know, it would not surprise me if you see the Lakers get into a bit of a hole to start the season, and then they have to spend some time digging out of it in order to, you know, remain in that playoff chase.
Tim, really appreciate your time. Enjoy the first part of the season, and joy to talk to you. I enjoy your work very much.
Appreciate that, man. Thank you, and enjoy the games.
That's Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!